You called me today. I wanted to see the president. I've tried to call you back within 30 minutes, and I looked for you ever since. The White House operators tell me they have. I assume that's right. And you weren't home, your secretary didn't know where you were, and your assistant didn't. Since then, you've been able to talk to John Mason, Joe Califano, in a while.
I've had calls in for you for the last 3 hours.
All right.
3 hours.
Well, anyway, because you know the president's schedule, but he's going to, I'm going to try to get him on right now, if you'll hold on.
Yes, Allen.
How are you, Mr. President?
Good, pretty good.
I talked to Marvin this afternoon. Thought I'd like to come in and talk to you for a moment and tell you that it seems to me that I'm probably creating a controversy.
Well, I haven't heard a damn thing about him from anybody but you.
Well,
had Joe Califano and Marvin, all of them coming in this afternoon, and some damn fool talking to you. Who talked to you over at that hearing that's presumably speaking for me?
Well, I can't tell you.
Why?
Sir?
Is he ashamed of it?
No, sir.
Why can't you tell me?
Well, he told me in confidence. The only thing I can do is keep the confidence. I certainly do that.
He ought to keep the confidence from your president if he's involving me in the house where I live and explaining the problem. Does he work on my staff?
No, sir.
Well, then, why don't you pay a damn bit of attention to him then?
Well, he wasn't trying to create any problems, so I can assure you.
Well, I know it, but he does. He has, hasn't he?
Well, I feel this way, that the thing that really concerned me was this, that I know that you're very loyal to your friends, and I hope I'm one of them. Worked hard, and I think you ought to have a completely free hand in what you do, but the last thing in the world I'm interested in is a consolation prize.
Well, you know, I don't give them. You ought to know me that well. I'm going to pick the man I think's best equipped to do this job. I have you right at the top of the list, but I haven't made a decision on it, and nobody said a damn word to me but you. But I'm just getting ready to get out. I'm signing bills here up over my neck. I'm due at the University of Maryland at 8 o'clock to make a crime speech. I've got to go to Pennsylvania tomorrow, and I've got an ambassador sitting out here who's been there 5 years, and he's got to see me so I can try to get him to move on to another place. What I'd like to do, I don't want to keep you from getting any job you want to get. And if you want to resign, I'm ready to accept it. But I have a very high regard for you. No one has objected your appointment to anything. No one has criticized you that I know anything about. I have a high opinion of you. The senators who were here the other night didn't say anything derogatory to you. Every check I've made of you, we haven't brought you FBI up to date. But every check I've made in Florida and here and every other place has come up with an A-plus answer. And my judgment of you is very high. I've not thought of anybody else in connection with it, and I hadn't thought of naming you. I just decided I'd keep my mind open until I signed the bill. But hell, I just signed it at 3 o'clock. I wouldn't have signed it if I'd known that this was going to descend upon me. And I saw this story in the New York Times, and I gave them hell about that, and I found out that some goddamn bunch of fat cat railroad operators said that they had offered you the job as a National Association railroad lobbyist.
Now, I'm not interested in that, believe me.
That you weren't going to be secretary of this anyway, and they said, well, why, what makes you think he's not? And he said, well, Joe Califano's got it. So that's another fellow that's speaking in confidence. These big flannel mouth folks going around. And they said, who? Well, one of the presidents of the railroad. Well, which one? Well, I can't tell that. Well, I've got that to look into now to see where that started. Califano, I never thought of him, never heard of him, the job till I saw it in the paper. I hadn't considered him and wouldn't consider him and never given one thought. When I did see it in the paper, I immediately told him that, and he took the same position and told the reporter that over at the swearing in. Well, it didn't look like we got in trouble swearing in. I'm going to be back here November the 2nd. I'll try to make that decision while I'm going and traveling, if I can, other things, when I get the rest of my information. If you can, I would like for you, who've done such a good job for this administration, to your first appointment to keep your options open. And if you can't do it, well, I can't do anything about it. I don't want to decide it this way, this time, this night, and I couldn't if I wanted to, because I have to have certain checks made and put myself in record. I will try to decide it just as like the attorney generalship, just as soon as I can possibly get some of this heat off of my neck.
Yes.
And I don't want to interfere with your life or wreck you or anything. I've told you now pretty generally my feeling. I have not made up my mind. I've not discussed it with another human. I haven't asked anybody's recommendations except John Macy's. He's got his recommendations on my desk at this moment. I haven't reviewed them other than just to see the general recommendation that he makes. And I rather think that you've got a lot of illusions about the folks and how they feel about you, because everybody I know of has the most high regard for you.
Well, my concern in that regard, purely simply, Mr. Brother, was to make sure that you didn't feel under any constraints with regard to me.
I feel not as loyalty, but I feel that you're able and you're capable and you're loyal to me, and I reciprocate, support my associates, my colleagues, and everything else. Being equal, of course I want to look after them and take care of them and honor them and respect them. But I wouldn't appoint you just because I thought you were a good friend of mine. I appoint you because I think you're the best man for the government. That's the way I've appointed every other man.
I know you have.
I think that you both. That's my feeling about it. What I'd like you to do is just wait till I get back here November the 2nd. That's not very long. Tell the folks that the president said he wants to see you when he gets back and has time to get his reports in. You'll have a few inquiries made about you. And if I were you, I'd just say that the president's indicated he wants to talk to me about some matters, and I don't know just what's going to happen until he gets back here, but the man's carrying some pretty heavy burdens. I spent all afternoon. I haven't been to my lunch. I haven't had my lunch.
You've got an impossible job.
I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning. I went to bed at 2. I just go on every damn day. And I don't want to make a mistake. I want to be careful. I want to do the right thing. And I think I can and will. And you have to know, you think it over and drop me a note. If you don't, well, wait till I get back.
Well, my sole concern is to be of service to you, Mr. President.
I know that. You've been an excellent service to me. And I want you in some place where you can always be. And I think this is a spot that you're the best equipped for. And I just got to pursue some other channels, and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can. And in the meantime, you can be sure I'm not considering anybody else or talking about anybody else, and won't be till I talk to you.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you, sir.
Thank you.